This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
The Space Show, which starts as usual with Vangelis. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we have Australian space industry news. In Australian news, the Defence Science and Technology Group is building a satellite that will help calibrate the Jindalee Operational Radar Network. This report describes how the small satellite will deploy an antenna and use a liquid lens, yes, a liquid lens camera, to photograph both itself and the Earth.
Defence Science and Technology Group is currently preparing for the launch of the Buccaneer main mission satellite, the successor to the Buccaneer risk mitigation mission. Buccaneer main mission hosts a high-frequency antenna and receiver to contribute to the calibration of the Jindalee operational radar network. Verification of the successful deployment and stability of the large high-frequency antenna is critical to the success of the mission. A bespoke deployable optics payload has been developed by Defence Science and Technology Group to fulfill the dual purpose of direct verification of the deployed state of the high-frequency antenna and capturing images of the Earth through a rotatable, dual-surfaced mirror and a variable-focus liquid lens. The payload advances research at Defence Science and Technology Group in several fields of space engineering, including deployable mechanisms, precision actuation devices, radiation-tolerant electronics, advanced metal polishing and optical metrology. The Buccaneer CubeSat program is the first sovereignly developed defence satellite program flown by Australia since the Weapons Research Establishment Satellite, RESAT, in 1967. The Australian project consists of two missions, Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission and Buccaneer Main Mission. The program entails two key objectives. One, exploring calibration of the Jindalee operational radar network from space using a high-frequency receiver payload, and two, to train a cadre of Australian defence satellite engineers and operators. Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission was a 3U CubeSat developed in partnership with the University of New South Wales, Canberra. Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission was successfully launched into a sun-synchronous low Earth orbit by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration in November 2017 from the Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. The lessons learned from Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission served as a risk reduction activity for Buccaneer Main Mission. Buccaneer Main Mission is a 6U CubeSat and will be launched into a sun-synchronous orbit, approximately 500 km altitude, in mid-2025. Original planning had been for launch in mid-2024. Buccaneer Main Mission will utilize an improved primary payload design based on the heritage gained from the Risk Mitigation Mission to allow Jindalee operational radar network radar signals that have been partially refracted by the ionosphere to be collected in low Earth orbit. In addition to the primary high-frequency payload, Buccaneer Main Mission houses a secondary payload for further space-to-ground experimentation and novel scientific investigation. This payload includes an optical communications system for space-to-ground communications, an iridium transceiver for satellite-to-satellite communications, and a deployable optics instrument known as the Maneuverable Antenna Terrestrial and Self-Imaging System. The inclusion of an optical communications payload is motivated by a need for high data rates and broadening the available electromagnetic spectrum to be used, with an optical ground station currently under development at Defense Science and Technology Group. Maneuverable antenna terrestrial and self-imaging system contains a self-imaging and earth-imaging electro-optic sensor with a catadioptric imaging system. The mirror components are stowed during launch and deployed on orbit with a scissor mechanism boom. The three objectives of this payload are to 1. Confirm the successful deployment of external components, including the primary payload's high-frequency antenna, by acquiring images of the entire satellite with the wide-field configuration of the imaging system. 2. Monitor any degradation of the camera system over time through imagery of a robust reference chart on the exterior surface of the satellite. Image quality, that is sharpness and color rendition, will be monitored. Of particular interest is the on-orbit performance of the liquid lens component of the sensor, which has no space heritage. 3. Demonstrate the ability to manipulate the deployed mirrors at the end of the boom arm to capture images of the Earth with a narrow field configuration of the imaging system. The significance of Buccaneer main mission is that it marks an important milestone in small satellite innovation for Australian defence, experiments with new capabilities to maintain the performance of an important defence asset in Jindalee operational radar network, and introduces new capabilities to the Australian space ecosystem, such as space-to-space communications via Iridium and optical communications. Finally, a number of novel space engineering innovations are demonstrated through the maneuverable antenna terrestrial and self-imaging system payload and will be tested in the space environment, including the first known use of a liquid lens in space to focus objects at different distances, and a novel mechanism for extending and retracting mirrors to deploy a large catadioptric optical system. Satellites commonly house imaging systems for Earth observation and climate observation, however, observing their immediate surroundings and exterior self-inspection is rare, and space manipulator systems even rarer. Imaging systems with adjustable focus allow the surroundings of the satellite to be imaged at variable distances. Traditionally, these systems require complex and reliable mechanical movement, the difficulties of which are amplified in the space environment due to exposure to high shock and vibration loads, thermal extremes, vacuum-induced cold welding and high-energy radiation. The use of a liquid lens for adjustable focusing removes one complex mechanical system from the optical chain. For CubeSat-S, deployable structures overcome the increased size, weight, and power constraints imposed by the need to fit into standard CubeSat dispenser pods. Various groups have worked on deployable optical structures for CubeSat-S. These range from deployable membranes that act as photon sieve diffractive optics, to rigid deployable mirrors, and wire-driven systems. However, these systems are primarily focused on maximizing ground sampling distance within the significant constraint for CubeSat systems, in contrast to our objectives of an adjustable focus instrument for self-inspection and Earth observation, and manipulation and retractability. Other key features of the maneuverable antenna terrestrial and self-imaging system payload are its deployable and retractable arm, and its rotatable, dual-surfaced mirror. The former allows the imaging system to remain within the envelope of the satellite for launch and when the payload is not in use, advancing research towards precision actuation of space optics. The latter facilitates dual-purpose imaging, with the convex-surfaced mirror providing images of the satellite, including the entirety of the 3.4-meter-long high-frequency antenna, and the flat-surfaced mirror capturing images of Earth. The liquid lens allows the focal length to be changed between the two imaging modes. Fine adjustments to mitigate temperature-dependent focus shifts of the remaining optical elements will also be possible. Focus changes are achieved electronically, without moving parts, making it more robust to the thermal extremes and hard vacuum of the space environment than traditional lens systems.
And this liquid lens was recently tested at the Australian National University in Canberra.
Liquid lenses for better satellite monitoring. The Heavy Ion Accelerator Facilities Space Irradiation Beamline, hosted at the Australian National University, has played a vital role in an exciting first for the Australian space industry. The first time that Australian space radiation testing has been done on an Australian space payload. The occasion: testing innovative liquid lenses that enable a satellite to take a selfie. Cameras on satellites, including CubeSats, are nothing new. They are typically included to take photos of the Earth and monitor climate patterns. However, a Defence Science and Technology Group team is about to send a satellite into orbit with a camera that also looks back at the satellite itself. The group's newest satellite, called the Buccaneer Main Mission, includes a special deployable arm that can extend out and retract, and a rotatable mirror with two surfaces, one aimed towards Earth and the other at the satellite, making sure the satellite's key antennae deploy properly and stay stable is important for the mission to succeed. So Defence Science and Technology Group made a unique piece of imaging equipment to look at the antennae and the satellite itself. Without it, there's no way to examine the satellite to check for failed antennae deployments and damage from radiation, micrometeorites, or other space hazards. However, the camera from that system also needs to focus on things much further away, like Earth. That wide range of focus brings some challenges in space. In space, if you have two metal components touching each other, they weld together and don't move, so focusing a lens by mechanically moving something is very difficult to do, explains Chris Peck, who leads resilient spacecraft development at Defence Science and Technology Group. The solution was to use a liquid lens, a cell with two liquids that change shape when a voltage is applied, which changes the lens's focus without any moving parts. The lens can adjust focus quickly and precisely, allowing it to focus on faraway objects like Earth or nearby objects like the satellite itself. Liquid lenses weren't initially designed for space, but they have a lot of benefits. They provide a wide range of focus with precise adjustment in a small space and are relatively cheap and robust, with no mechanical parts to break. Since it's never been used in space before, Defence Science and Technology Group had to thoroughly test their liquid lens technology to make sure it could handle the harsh conditions. To see how the lens reacts to damage from radiation, different lens samples were exposed to increasing intensities of high-energy proton beams at the Heavy Ion Accelerator facility, the only facility in Australia that can produce such beams. The Heavy Ion Accelerator facility is the only place we could go to do this level of testing at the energies we needed, Chris says. The Heavy Ion Accelerator facility is taking a leading role in making space missions safer thanks to new testing facilities. Funded by a grant from the Australian Space Agency's Space Infrastructure Fund, the Space Irradiation Beamline was officially launched in 2023 at the Australian National University Heavy Ion Accelerator facility. It's the 11th beamline available at the facility and offers the highest energy heavy ion space radiation testing facility in Australia. The ongoing operation of the Heavy Ion Accelerator Facility's Space Irradiation Beamline is enabled by the Heavy Ion Accelerators project funded through the Australian Government's National Collaborative Research Infrastructure Strategy. None of the lenses showed any degradation in their optical performance after the tests, indicating they could handle the kinds of radiation they would be exposed to during the mission. Good news for Defence Science and Technology Group and the future of the Australian space industry alike.
Wonderful developments there in the Australian space industry. A new step in space cooperation between Australia and New Zealand has been announced.
The SmartSat Cooperative Research Centre, or SmartSat, and the New Zealand Space Agency have announced the second round of jointly funded space research projects under the Australia-New Zealand Collaborative Space Programme. In partnership with the New Zealand Space Agency, the four new projects focus on advancing Earth observation technologies for better environmental and agricultural management. Commencing in November, the successful projects address crop and agricultural monitoring, advancing biomass mapping, and supporting Indigenous communities through Earth observation technologies. SmartSat Cooperative Research Centre Chief Executive Officer Professor Andy Coronios emphasised the importance of this collaboration.
We are excited to extend our collaboration with the New Zealand Space Agency and the wider team by funding these important research projects,
he said.
By investing in space technologies for farm management, land monitoring, and the integration of indigenous knowledge, we are improving our understanding of how to more reliably and sustainably look after our unique countries. We hope these new projects encourage enduring partnerships between Australian and New Zealand researchers, establish platforms for larger-scale future research initiatives, help develop talent and joint expertise, support R&D initiatives, and enhance business development. We also hope to build scientific capacity in alignment with both industry and end-user needs to address major environmental, economic, and social challenges for both nations.
The new research projects include, first, Indigenous pathways to advance fuel moisture earth observation technologies for improved fire planning management strategies by the Bushfire Research Centre of Excellence, Fenner School of Environment and Society, Australian National University, and SCIEN, the New Zealand Forest Research Institute. This project will interface traditional Aboriginal and Indigenous Maori knowledge with contemporary scientific methods to better understand and manage fire-prone landscapes across Australia and New Zealand. Researchers will use satellite data to create life maps that integrate science-derived models with traditional methods of reading the landscape and assessing fuel flammability, such as moisture content in vegetation, with a view to developing a near real-time flammability monitoring system. The second project is enhancing fractional cover models using hyperspectral data for improved pastoral condition assessment in Australia and New Zealand by Frontier SI and Manaaki Wenua Landcare Research. This project seeks to enhance fractional cover data products used to analyze and interpret proportions of green vegetation, non-green vegetation, and bare ground in a landscape, calibrated and proven in Australian conditions for use in monitoring pasture conditions across New Zealand. By enabling better land condition assessments and management practices, the outcomes of this study will contribute to more sustainable land use, help mitigate the risk of erosion, and protect vital soil and water resources. The third project is satellite sensing into agricultural practices. Phase AANZ's Kalaval campaigns of satellite, airborne and ground global navigational satellite system sensing of soil moisture by the University of Newcastle, Frontier SI and the University of Canterbury. This project will demonstrate the integration of soil moisture measurements collected using global navigational satellite systems from several platforms, including satellites, aircraft and ground receivers. The study will collect baseline remote sensing data for assessing spatial and temporal variations of soil moisture in the hopes of better supporting decision-making for agricultural practices and environmental applications. The fourth project is SILVEye satellite imaging for land vegetation, environmental recovery in ecosystems and yield enhancement by the CSIRO and the University of Auckland. This project aims to develop satellite capability to improve return time and resolution of agricultural monitoring, supporting crop management and environmental best practices across the Southern Hemisphere. The first tranche of projects jointly funded under the Australia-New Zealand Collaborative Space Program, announced in July this year, include research into monitoring methane emissions, enhancing real-time monitoring of greenhouse gases, managing free space optical communication nodes across Australia and New Zealand, improving the tracking of space objects, and developing a joint Australia-New Zealand concept for maritime domain awareness.
The Australian Space Agency has granted the Californian company VADA a license to land 3 pharmaceutical manufacturing satellite capsules at the Cunnamulla Test Range in South Australia. The company contracts a launch service provider to launch its capsules from the United States. When in orbit, the medicines are processed in microgravity and, if needed, a vacuum. The finished chemicals are then stored in a re-entry capsule, which parachutes to the ground for recovery. VADA believes this could lead to the development of life-saving treatments. The first landing at Cunnamulla will take place next year. The landing will not have to be super precise because the Kinniva site covers more than 41,000 square kilometres of land owned by the Kinniva Community Aboriginal Corporation. This is the Space Show. When we tell you that Australian university researchers have used a German rocket to send duckweed, yes, duckweed, into space, you may wonder why. After all, there are no ducks in space. Well, this feature explains all.
The ASC Centre of Excellence in Plants for Space, headquartered at the University of Adelaide, has sent its first payload of duckweed into space. The payload was aboard a sounding rocket launched by the German Aerospace Centre DLR as part of its Mafias 15 mission. The Mafias 15 sounding rocket was successfully launched on November 11th. It contained 21 scientific experiments from organisations worldwide. The University of Adelaide's Miniweed experiment, conducted in collaboration with DLR and Melbourne's La Trobe University, will test how altered gravity affects duckweed, a plant identified as a potential food source for astronauts.
We are excited to reach this major milestone of launching a sample of Wolfia australiana in a sounding rocket experiment,
says the University of Adelaide's Associate Professor Jenny Mortimer, Chief Investigator at Plants for Space, P4S.
Our 4PS collaborator at the DLR, Dr. Jens Horslage, has designed an experimental system that will chemically pause the plant's development at two points in the rocket's journey, the end of the hypergravity phase and the end of the microgravity experiment. Once we retrieve the samples, we will look at the effects of the altered gravity on the plant biology, in particular, gene expression. These experiments will also help us understand how well our gravity simulation systems in the lab mimic these real-world effects, particularly on an aquatic plant like duckweed. They will also help us prepare benchmarking data for experiments we are conducting as part of NASA's LEAF program, during which we will grow plants, including Wolfia, on the lunar surface and return them to Earth.
Following the launch, Mortimer will work with La Trobe's Professor Matthew Luzzi to analyze the biological and molecular effects on the duckweed, which will help the researchers prepare for future launches to deep space. Another University of Adelaide experiment, titled StarMed, will test the reliability of medicines created in space. If astronauts get sick on the Moon or Mars, they need medicines manufactured at the site of consumption that are stable under microgravity and cosmic rays, as drugs decompose faster in space, says the University of Adelaide's Professor Volker Hassel, program lead at the ASC Centre of Excellence Plants for Space. The StarMed experiment will show us how the stability of liquid medicinal formulations developed for auto-injection by astronauts under changed gravitational conditions, and we will find out how the controlled release of the encapsulated drug melatonin behaves during the space flight, he added. Horslage will also perform vibration tests on ground with the samples in DLIS NIMEX experimental module in order to have a standardized ecosystem benchmark to the rockets and other vibrations. This week's Mafias 15 launch was the 600th to fly over the icy landscape of Swedish Lapland, and it achieved a height of 309 kilometres. The experiment spent 7 minutes in weightlessness, as opposed to the 6 minutes of earlier flights. There were also more experiments included this time than on previous launches. We were able to accommodate many smaller experiments, which fit into 10-centimetre cubes, due to two specially built rocket segments, called Mosaic, said DLR Mafias project manager Professor Thomas Voigtman. This reduces development times and costs for each experiment and increases how many we can have on board. Mafias, which stands for Material Physics Experiments Under Weightlessness, has conducted flights with sounding rockets since 2009. P4S officially began in 2024, and the Mafias experiment is the first time the centre has sent plants into space.
A study from Curtin University in Western Australia has found that unexpected emissions from Starlink satellites are interfering with radio astronomy. Electronics on board the satellites are emitting signals at unexpected and unintended frequencies. These satellites are brighter than natural objects in the sky. They are being picked up by the sensitive radio telescopes of the Square Kilometre Array. According to Curtin University's Professor Stephen Tingay, and I quote, Even an extremely weak radio transmitter hundreds or thousands of kilometers away from the telescope appears as bright as the most powerful cosmic radio sources we can see in the sky. So these signals represent a serious source of interference. End quote. Professor Tingay said that his team has had a very positive engagement with SpaceX engineers working on the satellites. SpaceX is the company that makes, deploys, and operates thousands of Starlink satellites. Tingay estimates emissions in radio wavelengths will need to be reduced by a factor of 1,000 or more to avoid significant interference with radio astronomy. In other news, Greece and Australia have signed an agreement to cooperate in space science and technology.
SmartSat Sears Inc.'s partnership with the Hellenic Space Center to foster space collaboration between Australia and Greece. The SmartSat Cooperative Research Center and the Hellenic Space Center have signed a landmark memorandum of understanding at the International Astronautical Congress. This agreement marks a pivotal step in enhancing international cooperation in space science, technology, and innovation between Australia and Greece. The Memorandum of Understanding aims to harness the complementary strengths of SmartSat CRC and the Hellenic Space Center BWAY, fostering joint research, sharing scientific and technical information, and exploring synergies between the Cognini mission and the Hellenic Space Center's National Microsatellite Program through coordinated data acquisition and AI applications. IT also encourages the exchange of experts and other collaborative activities to advance space technology and research. The collaboration will initially focus on several key areas: microsatellites. Both countries are advancing capabilities in microsatellite technology, with SmartSat CRC leading a Australia's space and research initiatives and the Hellenic Space Center developing Greece's National Microsatellite Program. The new partnership aims to integrate AI and bolster multi-sector collaborations. Earth observation. Joint research on Earth observation technologies and applications in agriculture, natural disaster monitoring, environmental sustainability, maritime surveillance, and climate change adaptation. Space science and academic collaborations. Including areas such as space domain awareness, Internet of Things, and space communications, with a shared focus on radio frequency and optical communications. Commercial networking. To promote collaboration between academic, industrial, and governmental stakeholders from both countries to foster space research and technology commercialization.
Space Machines Company of Sydney has signed a strategic partnership agreement with the United Kingdom-based company Lunasa. Lunasa's inaugural mission will be aboard the Optimus 2, that's Space Machines' second satellite. Optimus 2 will be launched in 2026 by a small satellite launch vehicle. That's a rocket built by the New Space India Limited company. Lunasa will have its autonomous Starlogic rendezvous proximity operations payload aboard Optimus 2 as a validation and test exercise. Now, Starlogic is designed to image objects such as satellite debris from as far away as 20 kilometres. It will then calculate the orbital manoeuvres required for Optimus to rendezvous with the debris and conduct proximity operations. The Optimus 2 satellite will be built in Australia before being shipped to India for launch. And finally, in Australia news, they've made a decision as to who will build the Lunar Rover.